So for the last few weeks, we've been in Luke chapter 10 for the last two or three. And if you remember last week, looking at that map of Jesus had turned his face to Jerusalem, and there was a map we talked about last week, and they were in the north area of the place of Jesus and the time of Jesus, up around the Sea of Galilee and Jericho and all those areas north. And now they're moving their way to Jerusalem. But this story, as we know, if we look in a couple of the other Gospels, takes place in a place called Bethany, which is actually just right outside Jerusalem. And as I was processing through that this week and over time, I wondered why Luke skipped that whole big journey from the Galilee down to Jerusalem, because this story takes place right outside of town. And then I remembered that writers then didn't think as chronologically as we do. They didn't think in the same sequence of events that we do. That just wasn't as important to them as it is to us. So if we're following along chronologically, this story probably happens much closer to the time that Easter would happen, what we celebrate as Easter. But there's a really important, and I hope that we pull it out of the text this morning, there seems to be a pretty important reason that Luke places this story where he does. Though it's not chronological, there's a really special reason, I think. We talked last week about the Good Samaritan, and we got challenged. We even got challenged, but the folks who had been hearing that story of the Good Samaritan got challenged big time on how they viewed different cultures and different people, their neighbors. Who was their neighbor? Their neighbor, we kind of came to the conclusion last week that the neighbor, a neighbor is anyone who has need. And so that was part of the story last week. And so we got challenged. And the people that were hearing this for the very first time in Luke's writing or experiencing it with Jesus would have been challenged big time on some social structure and on some social issues. And I think that might be part of why this story gets placed where it is. Sometimes it's good to tell everybody exactly what you want them to hear and what you want them to know right up front. And sometimes it's good to kind of hold that back and let that be a surprise later. Today's one of those days where I want you to hear this right up front, that the presence of Jesus changes everything. The presence of Jesus changes perspectives, changes what's appropriate. It changes what we should be doing in our activities. It changes everything. The very presence of Jesus changes everything. So don't go to sleep now, because that doesn't mean that we're done talking this morning. But that's the big deal. The presence of Jesus changes absolutely everything. This little story of Mary and Martha is one of those special stories, and it's so little, I think it can be skipped over sometimes. I think we can read through the scriptures, and some of us who've read through the scriptures a bunch know the story of Martha and Mary. Some of you may have not heard that, but it's one of those really normal stories, even in our very lives all the time. So let's read through this story one more time. We're going to be in chapter 10 of Luke, verse 38. Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village we know to be Bethany, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you're anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." So there's this short little five-verse story of these two sisters who welcome Jesus into their home. And it's said to be Martha's home. It's said to be Martha's home. And one of the sisters is an industrious lady. She is all about hospitality. She wants Jesus to feel comfortable there. She wants him to eat well. She wants him to relax. And she gets really busy in the middle of all that. And one of the sisters, Mary, sits at Jesus' feet and just listens and wants to be near him, wants to be with him. So often this story gets taught, and I think is right in some ways, it gets taught as this story between industry and contemplation, right? The story of being busy versus sitting down and listening. One of the commentators that I read this week, and one of my favorites named N.T. Wright, says, yeah, but I think if we only look there, we're missing it, because without industry, nobody eats. But without contemplation, nobody worships. And so we need both of those things to happen. We need both of those activities. We need both of those characteristics. So what's the difference? Why does Jesus at the end of the story in verse 42 say, Mary has chosen the good portion? What's the difference? Why is it not that we should just sit at Jesus' feet? Or why is it not that we should be industrious and be hospitable and be active and be helpful and be making the home the place of welcome and time and making sure the food's on the table at the right time and making sure everybody's sitting where they need to sit? Remember what we said at the very beginning. The presence of Jesus changes everything. In Jewish culture, it was important. Hospitality was huge. In Jewish culture, Martha is right. At all costs, everybody feels welcome and comfortable in our home. We think of that even on Sunday mornings around here. It's important that people feel welcome here, whether you've been here one time or 101 times. We want everybody to feel welcome and comfortable and cared for and loved on right here on Sunday morning so that we can come and take off the other stuff and worship Jesus. That's what we want. That's what's important. What changes it? I even wondered this week. Okay, Kurt, so are you more like Martha or are you more like Mary? And I think it depends on the day. Aaron may tell you that I like to sit down and not get busy enough. Aaron is full of industry. If you've met my wife, Aaron is industrious to the nth degree. She never sits down. She's always in motion. She's always doing. That's who she is. But I'll tell you, on Sunday mornings, when I come here and I'm getting ready for this, I have a hard time setting aside the details and sitting down and realizing that Jesus is here. How do y'all feel on Sunday mornings? Is Sunday morning difficult because we got to get up and get moving and get dressed and have on the right clothes and get there on time? And oh my goodness, we got to stop and get the right coffee on the way there, right? It's important. Mine's a Diet Coke with no ice. It's sitting right back there. I made sure I have mine. But we get all intense and we think about all those details and we're working to get there, right? But how often do we let those things get in the way of stopping? And when we hear that summons to worship saying, I'm here and I'm fully present, Lord. How often do we forget as we're singing about what's going on around us and we're worried about, okay, what are we doing after church and what's happening after lunch and is my shoe tied and what are my kids doing and all that sort of thing. Those are the thoughts that go through my head as I'm trying to worship. But the presence of Jesus should change everything. Everything. So this isn't just about effort versus contemplation. This isn't just about industry versus contemplation. Industry is essential. We need industry. We also need contemplation. And the decisive factor is Jesus was in the room. Jesus was in the room. The king was there. The kingdom was there. The gospel was present. Jesus, the gospel was present. And that's why Jesus says, we're not going to tell Mary she can't sit here. That's why Jesus says, where is our focus? But that's not the only thing happening here. Not by a long shot. That's not the only thing going on here. The Lord changes everything. So he changes our focus. His presence changes our very focus. His person changes our focus. We see that as Jesus was calling the disciples. They're fishing. They're out on the side of the seashore. And Jesus says, come follow me. And they drop everything and they go. Jesus' presence changes everything. But it doesn't only change our focus. The Lord's presence changes our place. The Lord's presence changes our place. One of the reasons that Martha was frustrated with Mary was because in Jewish homes, there were male spaces and female spaces. And women didn't go into certain parts of the house, and men didn't go into other parts of the house. That was just how it was. They were very divided places in the house. There were even divided places outside the house in the courtyards and those kind of things. And one of the reasons that Martha was frustrated with Mary was she was being exceedingly inappropriate. She was in a male space in the house. She had crossed a border of appropriateness. She was sitting in the male room with all the guys. And no lady would do that. No proper lady would sit in the room with all the men and listen to the men's talk. She would be with where the ladies are. And there were no men in the ladies' places either. That's just not what happened. Mary had crossed that invisible but well-known and very important boundary within the house. And another equally important boundary within the social world of that time and place, Mary was being inappropriate and well outside of what was thought proper. And that wasn't a matter of superiority or inferiority, no doubt that it's been perceived that way. It was simply a matter of appropriateness. But as we've said, the presence of the gospel, the presence of Jesus, the presence of the kingdom changes what's appropriate and what's inappropriate. Mary was very appropriate to be sitting at Jesus' feet. Mary was very appropriate because the gospel, the kingdom, welcomes everyone. We just learned last week, the Samaritans even. Those hated, terrible Samaritans. In a way that hadn't been seen before. There's an openness to all that the gospel brings to the table. Mary was crossing the appropriate boundaries. What are those social structures and those social boundaries that we hold that we don't cross, that you don't cross, that are maybe just social structures? And how does the gospel change those? What might be some of those gospel-changing lines that we should cross? And we're just worried about appropriateness. But the Lord doesn't change just our focus or just our place. The Lord changes this appropriateness that we're talking about. The Lord changes where we can go and the places that we can be. But the Lord also changes the way we think about things and what it means to be absolutely appropriate. So in the same way as in a male space was only for men and to sit at teachers' feet, was decidedly a male role, was decidedly a male opportunity. To go sit at the teacher's feet wasn't something that women did. Now, we think of that in our very Western minds, right? Like sitting at someone's feet is like when my golden retriever comes and sits here and looks up at me with these gazy eyes and tongue hanging out and kind of in this doting fashion. That's how we think of sitting at somebody's feet, right? That's not at all what's being talked about here. If you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn with me to Acts chapter 22. This morning. Acts 22, verse 3. And this is Paul, Saul of Tarsus, talking. He said, "I am a Jew, born in Tarsus in Cilicia, but brought up in the city, educated at the feet of Gamaliel, according to the strict manner of law of our fathers, being zealous for God, as all you are to this day." Saul of Tarsus, Paul, who we know as Paul, wrote a good chunk of the New Testament, sat at the feet of Gamaliel. That means that Gamaliel was his teacher. Saul was his student. Saul was there to learn, but to learn with a real purpose in mind. You sat at a rabbi's feet to learn, to grow, but because you want to be a rabbi yourself. Because you want to be a teacher yourself. So part of the issue with Mary, in Martha's eyes, was that she was trying to not only be in a male space, not only be inhospitable, but she was trying to take on a male role, a role that was only for men in that day and time. She was wanting to be a rabbi, wanting to be a teacher, Paul, Saul, wanted to sit at the feet of Gamaliel so that he could teach like Gamaliel did, the same message that Gamaliel taught. Mary was sitting at the feet of the gospel, at the feet of the kingdom of God, at the feet of God himself, so that she could learn to teach and share the very gospel at whose feet she was sitting at. Martha didn't think that was okay. Martha was missing the point. Not only was Martha missing that Mary was being appropriate in activity, Martha was missing that Mary was being appropriate in the place in the house she was sitting, but Martha was also missing that Mary was being absolutely appropriate, wanting to have the teaching that it was going to take for her to share the very message of the gospel. And look at what Jesus did. Verse 42, he said, Mary has chosen the good portion. Jesus affirms her very right to do every one of those things. He affirms his deep desire for her and for folks like her to do the very same thing. And I'm not making a big comment here about some of the issues and social structures of our day and our time, but I do think that Jesus was opening the door widely for anyone who wants to be a part of teaching his gospel and sharing his message and being with him no matter where the appropriate lines of that day and time are, and we have them here too. He is saying that his very presence changes all of that. Mary stands for all women, when they hear Jesus speaking about the kingdom, to know that God is calling them to listen carefully so that they can speak of it too. But he's also calling for all men to do that. And he's calling for everyone to do that. He was just telling us that Samaritans can do that. And we've heard all along the line that this is for the whole world. Jesus came for the entire world to sit at his feet and to know him intimately enough and love him intimately enough to make him our priority. So I think we'd be wrong to see this simply as a story of active and contemplative styles of spirituality. Activity in our spirituality is very important. So is contemplation. Like N.T. Wright says, without the first, you wouldn't eat. And without the second, we wouldn't worship. But this story is about the boundary-breaking call of Jesus, reminding us that he changes the systems of our focus and of our place and of what it means to be appropriate. So church, will you take time this week to set aside some time to write out and to think out, where are some places that you need to reorient your priority list? Have you seen that example of taking a big jar and you got to fit in big rocks and little rocks and sand and water into the jar, and the best way to fit it in? If Jesus is one of the big chunks, if our faith walk is one of the big chunks we put in the jar, what else do we need to reorient to make sure that those big chunks get in our jar and that we don't let the little bitty things take over our lives? And that's what was happening in the Mary and Martha story. They were letting the little things, the little pieces of the puzzle, take the precedence and take the priority when the presence of Jesus changes it all. And that presence of Jesus changes it all because of what he has done for us. What he was willing to take on for us. What he was willing to take over for us. He was willing to take on our sin, take over our bad choices, own my wrong so that I can have relationship. And since he was willing to do all of that, his very presence should change the way that I think about what it means to be focused, what it means to be in my place, and what it means to be appropriate. So take some time to think about how his priority, him being the priority, changes the way we view family stuff. The way we treat one another in family. The way that I get my toes stepped on too quickly. What about the way that it changes the way I work and the way you work and the way you think? What about the hobbies you do and the way that you engage the people around those hobbies? How does keeping Jesus as our priority change our very neighborhoods? Church, let's let Jesus change, his very presence change our focus, our place, and what we think it means to be appropriate. Will you pray with me? Gracious Lord, I thank you for this time to be together. I thank you for the love that you have for us. I thank you, Lord, that you don't put up boundaries of where we can be in our homes and where we can be in our society as you're present. Lord, you don't put up boundaries about who can share about you and who you're going to love first and who you're going to love most and who you're going to think about and how you're going to let us engage you. You want us all to be intimately known by you and trusted by you and thought of by you. Lord, will you be in our midst? Will you let that change our very perspectives? In your precious and holy name, amen.